Hey everyone, thanks so much for joining us for our second episode of Fried Green Tomatoes. In our last episode, we discussed all of the supplies that you'll need to get started on your home grow, and today we are going to discuss seedlings. I'm Lauren, and joining me is my friend David.
Hello. Okay, so today we're going to discuss seedlings. So the seedling stage of a cannabis plant is going to be the first 10 days of life roundabout before it starts sprouting its first set of leaves. This is also the most dangerous time for the plant, as it's the most delicate, the most vulnerable to temperature and moisture issues.
Okay, so what is the ideal environment that we should maintain in order to avoid any issues with the seedlings?
So typically, for a normal cannabis plant, you want between 69 and 79 degrees when it is in veg or in flower. However, when it's a seedling, like I said, it's much more delicate, so the temperature needs to be higher. You want to keep it in the mid-80s if possible. Typically, what I do is I will set my thermometer to be a little bit lower than that, because you always have to take into account the heat that the lights themselves are going to give off. So it's going to depend on your particular setup as to what exactly you want to set your temperature, because LEDs obviously produce less heat than other lights, so it won't be that big of an issue. But with other type of lighting, you're definitely going to need to take that into account. Another thing that you're going to need to keep a steady eye on is going to be your relative humidity in your room. Typically, when you're in veg or flower, you want between 40 to 50% humidity. It's very much the same thing with seedlings as with temperature as well. You want to make sure that your humidity is also higher. So that needs to be around 60 to 70% consistently if you want the ideal output. And you can buy humidifiers and dehumidifiers to regulate this in whatever grow space you're using. For those of you who don't know, RH is just the moisture content in the air and how that's tracked. Mm-hmm. So humidifiers and dehumidifiers both have very, very similar price ranging. I've found some as, you know, cheap as $20 and $30, and they obviously get up into the $1,000+ range for both. Obviously, the smaller the space, the less, the lower quality humidifier you can have and still be effective. But the little $20 to $50 versions are not going to work if you're using a larger grow space, like an entire room or something of that nature.
Okay.
And one last thing to touch on is the pH consistency of the water. This is uniform throughout the entire life cycle. It's usually between 6 and 6.5 of actual soil pH, not the water pH that you're putting in, but the soil itself. And hydroponics is going to be a little bit different. You want, for that one, you want 5.5 to 6.0 as your pH.
Okay. And how do we feed them at this stage?
Okay. So usually when we're talking about feeding a seedling, it depends on your type of fertilizer that you're using. If you are using organic fertilizers in the soil, there's no need to feed the plant. The food is already in the soil. If you are using synthetic nutrients, you're going to need to feed your plant regularly. However, a seed already comes with about the first month's worth of food. So it's not required that you put any fertilizer in it 9 times out of 10, as long as you're using regular soil.
Okay.
So any potting soil that you can get from the store is going to have food in it out of the box, pretty much. If you are going to feed your plant, you're going to want to wait until about the 2-week mark. After 2 weeks of life, the plant should already be out of the seedling stage and into vegetation. And you can tell that by once it starts producing its real fan leaves, the traditional 5 to 9 bladed leaves that you see in all the artwork and stuff. That's when you know that that's a first set of real leaves. Originally, when the seed opens up, it's going to have 2 leaves on either side of the node, and they're literally going to be one blade. It's just going to like a normal leaf that you would see on, you know, common plants outside.
Okay.
We also can get into the talk about PPM, So PPM stands for part per million, and you'll hear this a lot when you're talking about the amount of nutrients in the water that you're feeding your plant. There are devices that you can buy off of Amazon and other places that track the PPM of whatever you're trying to feed the plant. So the more fertilizer you put in the water, obviously the PPM is going to go up. So for a range, we suggest that you do either 100 to 400 PPM per feeding. And if you want to talk about feeding schedules, you can always check out our original episode. We talk a lot. We go pretty in depth about feeding schedules there. But just know that's the strength that you're going for your fertilizer. Another thing to think about is that it's always better to underfeed your plants, regardless of the stage of life, because you can always add more fertilizer if you start seeing some deficiencies. But if you overfeed, there's not a whole lot that you can do other than flushing the plant, which is obviously stress that you don't want to put the plant under.
Okay, so what is flushing?
So flushing is the act of cleaning out the pot that the plant is in. So whatever the size pot that you have, however many gallons or however you're tracking it, to flush something, you're going to want to run about 3 times the amount of water as the container that it is in to flush all the nutrients out of that soil. But you need to be careful when you're doing this, because obviously when you do that, the plant has no more food. So after a few days, it's going to start showing deficiencies. Leaves are going to start dying and falling off if you don't feed it. So you have to find that happy medium of flushing enough nutrients out to where you don't completely take away the food supply, but you also don't have an excess either, which is something you'll learn with time as you learn to speak the language of your plants and know when they're speaking to you about deficiencies.
Okay, and what is the normal watering schedule for seedlings?
For just a seedling, you're going to want to feed it water every 2 to 3 days, and it's not very much water at all. You're going to give it a shot glass worth of water, if that. In this stage of life, since they don't have a well-developed root system, a lot of people use spray bottles to just mist the plant, because the plant does take in water other ways than just the root system. It does absorb it through the actual plant itself. So just you can also alternatively just spray the top of the soil, just keep it a little damp, and then obviously spray the plant as well so that it can absorb it. So just like when it's in a full pot, you should have your seedlings in like a red Solo cup or a small plastic container, or maybe you have those little terracotta pots with the little holes in the bottom of them, something like that. Whatever you have, pick it up when you haven't watered it, so you know what a dry weight feels like, and then pick it up again after you've watered it so you can feel a wet weight. And then while it's still small, you can just pick the plant up, and based off the weight, you know how much water is still in that. And, you can gauge how much you need to feed it off of that.
Okay.
So another thing is that plants are just like people. They sleep when it's dark and they're awake during the day. It's most important to feed your plant shortly after they wake up. That's when they use the most water. Not only do they perspirate it throughout the day, but they also need it for photosynthesis. And once the lights come on, they're going to start, photosynthesizing. So making sure that they have a steady water supply first thing in the morning is very, very important. It's also, this is debated, but people believe that roots grow more active during the dark hours and they don't need water for that. And any excess water in the nighttime could suffocate them. So if you water them right before their bedtime, they're not going to drink it. They're just going to go to sleep, and you could potentially damage the roots.
Okay. So in regards to lighting, how far should the light be from the seedlings at this point, and what is the lighting schedule?
Okay. So a lot of this is going to be by how the seedling reacts to what you're doing. That question kind of depends on the exact light that you're using as to how close and how far. Typically, the lights come with instructions to let you know how far away they should be during certain stages of life. So always check the documentation that came with your light before you do anything else. But typically, I would say the closest it could be would be 2 to 3 inches if it's a very, very weak light, and only for the first few days. As you see the plant start to react, that's how you gauge it. So if the plant starts to grow and stretch out before it starts sprouting more leaves, it's not going to be able to hold its own weight, and it's going to fall over, and you're going to have to end up propping it up with like a little piece of like a gardening wire or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If the light is too close, you will notice the edges of the leaves start to turn white or yellow. Because you're literally burning them because of the light source. Not literally, not the heat off of the light per se, which is possible, but the light itself will quote unquote burn the leaves, and it will look, you know, start to crumple up and look bizarre. So you have to gauge those two reactions that the plant's going to have, and then judge the distance that it should be away from your light, you know, given whatever model you have. And typically, whatever works for one seedling is going to be pretty close to whatever it is for the other seedling. So once you find that happy medium, just go ahead and measure it with a tape measure or a ruler or something like that, and get a roundabout distance of where you know you want to be. And then on your next run, you've already documented that, so you don't have to worry about that as being a problem.
That sounds good. All right. So in the last episode, we also talked about needing a fan. Would we need to use it at this point in the seedling?
So in this stage of life, the seedling's really too weak to need direct air from a fan. But that being said, there's other benefits to good air circulation other than the actual stress on the stems that makes the plant stronger. So it is a good idea to keep a healthy ventilation and constantly feeding new CO2 and oxygen into the room. Just make sure that the fan isn't pointed directly at the seedling, because again, as it starts to stretch for that light, the stem's going to be weak, and the more wind means it's going to fall over much easier.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Okay, and when do we know when to transplant them, and what size pot should we be using at this point?
Okay, so transplanting or repotting any plant, there's always going to be risk involved. The reason that we do this today is because the root system is going to grow into whatever size container you put it in. However, larger pots with smaller root systems means that that water and moisture is just going to sit in that soil because the roots haven't reached out to the edges to be able to drink all the nutrients that you're putting in, which makes it much more difficult to gauge how much to water, how often to water. Are you giving it the right amount of fertilizer or not? If the plant is not taking in all of the nutrients that you were putting into the soil, you have an incomplete picture of what's actually happening under the surface. Mm-hmm. So that's why I say it should be in like a solo cup or a small plastic container at first. So you want to wait at least, I would not do a transplant before 3 weeks. I would then I would marginally step up. Don't go from a solo cup to a 10-gallon pot, right? You want to transplant it probably about twice, especially if you're doing organic fertilizer, because transplanting is a perfect time to reinvigorate the soil that your roots are in and add new organic fertilizers to the soil that you're adding into the pot.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say 8 to 10 fluid ounces is a good container for the first 2 weeks. After that, once you're solidly into the vegetation stage, you want to I like to start with a 2-gallon and then final pot it after about a month into, depending on what kind of a run I'm doing, into a 5 or a 10-gallon pot after that.
Okay. Okay, so I've heard that transplanting is especially dangerous for the autoflowers. Can you go into more detail about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So The problem with auto flowers is that their life cycle is condensed. So each portion of the life cycle is shorter than a photoperiod plant typically. So the problem with transplanting, as I said before, is that it's very, very stressful for the plant and it's very risky. When you transplant a plant, for the first probably week or 2 weeks after you transplant it, the plant isn't going to grow anymore. It's going to need time to adjust to its new pot. It's going to need to reach its roots out a little bit before it starts growing upward again. And doing that to an autoflower that's already moving in an advanced life cycle, it's not going to push the total life cycle of the plant out. Instead, it's just going to reduce the overall size the plant would have ever been. So you're going to lose yield by transplanting an autoflower pretty significantly. Because again, it's a very increased timeline for their life cycle. So every single day is very, very valuable for an autoflower if you're trying to maximize yields. If you're just looking for some high quality product at the end and don't really necessarily care how much it is, then it's not as big of a concern.
Well, that makes sense. All right. Well, I guess that pretty much wraps it up for seedlings. I think I've learned a lot today, so I appreciate that. And if you guys have any questions, please reach out to us at our email address. That's vafriedgreentomatoes@gmail.com. And we look forward to seeing you in the next one.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.